We're in a new series that we are calling Risk Takers, and I told you last week, really growing up and really all through my life, I would consider myself being a risk taker. You know, I'd love roller coasters, and you know, I just love that moment where you come over the edge and you just kind of raise your hands up and woo, and then get into it. I just love roller coasters and you know, skiing and riding horses and bulls. I mean, I was a risk taker growing up, and I shared last week that you know, as I've gotten older and probably wiser, that maybe I'm starting to move into that play it safer kind of category. But when it comes to my faith, when it comes to my relationship with God, He has been just impressing on me, especially through this summer. It's impressing on me, Monty, don't quit taking risks when it comes to your relationship with me. Keep stepping into your faith. Keep being willing to take risk when it comes to what I'm calling you, where I'm sending you, where I'm placing you. And even us as a church, to keep challenging us to begin to take risk when it comes to God's call on our lives to love and lead and grow others into a relationship with the Rock, Jesus Christ. And we really do that really just in three different ways. I kind of got a little triangle. I should have drew it for you. Just three different ways. We begin to take those risks to love, lead, and grow with Jesus. We can't do it in our own strength, so we have to do that with Jesus. And to be intentional about sharing the good news with as many people as we can. To do everything we can through the life and the ministries and the programs of the church to help people come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and follow Him in baptism. Begin to publicly proclaim His name, because we know that it will change their life now and for eternity. And then we do it in community. We begin to take those risks in community, not by ourselves, in community, together, coming alongside each other and, you know, around God's Word and doing life together, encouraging one another, holding each other accountable, praying for each other. As we step into the different seasons of our lives, being there for people when they go through loss, being there with people as they celebrate victories, in community, taking risk, being a part of smaller groups, encouraging one another to grow in your faith. And then finally, on mission. We do it on mission. We look for opportunities to serve and to help others in need and be a part of what our Rock Reach team puts before us throughout the year. To reach our community with the kindness of God. Yet it's to serve others. Be a church that has a heart to serve. To take risk when it comes to serving others here in our community through our points of passion and even beyond in places like Haiti and DR and Guatemala. Just being on mission together. Being risk takers. So this morning I want to talk to you about what being a risk taker with Jesus really looks like. And before I open God's Word, I just want us to pray. And as I thought about this, I was just going to lead us in a prayer. But then, you know, as I was leading in a celebration of life service yesterday, and we prayed the Lord's Prayer, as we looked at that, and as Kim and I talked about that, and there is really no more riskier prayer than that. If you really understand what God is calling us to do and teaching us how to pray, what Jesus is teaching us how to pray. You know, to ask His kingdom, you know, to come from up there to down here and to be a part, you know, to His kingdom to be involved in the campuses and the classrooms and in our community. So I'm just going to ask you together to pray with me. It might seem a little weird, and I think sometimes we just take this prayer for granted, but just to begin to pray with a risk-taker's kind of heart, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Pray with me together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I grew up every summer. My family going to a lake walking water. just down here in Lake Wells. We'd rent a little cabin, and for a week, Dad, you know, we would just fish. My dad loved to fish, and so he taught me how to fish there on Lake Walking Water. And so every summer we did that. And then as I got a little bit older, we eventually got a lake house on Lake Louisa in Claremont. But we were always around the lake and around fishing. So I learned how to fish, and somewhere around 12 or 13, he loved to fly fish, and so he had taught me how to fly fish. And so we would go out, you know, and fly fish together. And one afternoon, what we would do, we'd go out into the lake, and we'd find a place where we wanted to fish. And he would just kind of drop me off, and I would wade and begin to fly fish. And he would move the boat on down, you know, several yards and on down. And then he would pull it up in the grass, in the reeds, throw out the anchor, and then he would jump out and begin to fish from the boat on. And I would fish down to the boat, and then I would get in the boat and pick him up, and we'd go home, right? Well, one afternoon, we went out, and we were so excited because the bass were really biting, and we were excited about that. And so he drops me out, and he goes on down, and I start fishing, right? And I'm really focused on fishing and, you know, and catching. I want to outfish my dad. Oh, everything's a competition, right, with me and my dad. I'm going to outfish my dad. And all of a sudden, like happens in Florida summers, right, well, like it's happening now, when we know that this storm just comes up out of nowhere. We know the storms in Florida. I mean, it's just there on me, on us all of a sudden. And it gets really dark, and the wind begins to blow. It's like, you know, a tornado's coming through, and the waves are starting splashing on little old 13-year-old Monty. And I start getting a little nervous, and I can see the boat's still a little ways. And so I begin to go faster and forget about fishing and trying to get to the boat. And all of a sudden, lightning begins to pop all around me, and, you know, the water's splashing on me. I finally get to the boat. I get the anchor in, and I go down, and, you know, and it's like, I feel like I'm going to capsize. I mean, I don't know if 13-year-old is supposed to be driving the boat, but I'm driving the boat, and it's like I'm going to capsize this thing, right? Water's coming in, and I'm looking for my dad. I can't see him. All of a sudden, I see him, and he's up there in the weeds, up there in the reeds there. He's sitting on this old fence post, you know, and water's crashing all around him. He looks like a wet noodle. I mean, my dad wasn't very big at all. He's sitting there, you know, and he's just holding his pole up, you know, and waving at me. And I go over, and I get him, and we get in the boat, and we begin to try to make it back to the cabin, you know, and we're going, and I mean, it is rougher than I've ever experienced, and, you know, I think we're going to die, and he's committed, you know, and he's going through it and trying to work his way through the waves and lightning popping all around us, and he said, you know, we can't get the boat to plane, and so he tells me, go up and sit, you know, sit on the front, lay on the front, give it some more weight. Good idea, Dad, right? And it says, sacrifice his son for the plane. And so I'm up there, and I'm scared to death. And finally, he realizes we're not going to make it across the lake. And so he kind of pulls over into a little cove area and ties off to a tree. And I mean, it is popping and lightning striking everywhere. And I'm still kind of hunkered down. You know, I'm soaking wet. And I look over, and Dad picks up his spinning rod. And he starts fishing. And the wind, he can't even hardly throw the thing because the wind's blowing so hard. I said, you are a, yeah, I couldn't believe it. And so finally it dies down, and we get out on the lake, and we head back, and we get to the dock and to the camp, fishing camp where we stayed. And as we got out on the dock, people are shaking their heads and going, you are out there in that, y'all are crazy. And we're walking back across together, and Dad kind of looks at me, and he says, now listen, Mom don't have to know anything about this, right? Yes, Dad. I loved him. I love that man. But here's what I know. I had extreme confidence, even in the midst of that crazy storm. And, you know, I had extreme confidence because of who I was with. I had extreme confidence because of who I was with, right? My dad. And so here's my question for you this morning. Here's my question. If you had to face the worst storm in your life, who would you want in the boat with you? Some of Jesus' disciples found out the answer to that question. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, it's a very familiar story that when I was preparing for this, this is the one God kept bringing me back to. This was the one that kind of helped, you know, be able to explain what it means to be a risk taker with Jesus. Starting with verse 23, it says, then he got into the boat, talking about Jesus, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. want you to look at that first verse in 23 there. It says, then he, talking about Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And I want to note that because his disciples followed him. Why? Why did they follow him? Because that's what disciples do. That's what they do. They follow Jesus. As I said, you know, this series is about being a risk taker and following Jesus. And last week we learned that it's really a simple yes. Yes, I will, right? To follow his call on our lives. But as we learned last week, there's a cost to that. There's a cost to following Jesus and experiencing this exciting adventure that he is calling us to. And here's the cost in this story. Look at verse 24, the first part of it. It says, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Now, they're on the Sea of Galilee, right? And the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 7 miles wide, and it's surrounded by mountains. So really, this is a common occurrence, right? Winds come over the mountain, they come down onto that lake, and so storms come up quickly and with a fury. But just keep in mind that they're in a wooden boat with some sails probably and some paddles. I love this Rembrandt picture of the storm. I mean, you know, that's just kind of what you can imagine is going on there on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus and his disciples. Here's what I've learned over the years of walking with Jesus and being a risk taker with Jesus. One of all, when it comes to storms in life, storms are inevitable, all right? They will happen. You will experience them. If you're not in a storm right now, just wait, right? Just wait. You will be in a storm. They're just part of life. James 1:2 says, when you face trials, it says when you face trials. It doesn't say if you will face trials. You can count on it. And so you will face storms in life. Nobody goes through life sailing easy from cradle to grave. I mean, we're going to have tough times. And so they're inevitable. Second thing I've learned is that storms are unpredictable. They come suddenly. They come unexpectedly. They're unpredictable. In this story, you know, without a warning, a furious storm came up. You and I, we can't predict storms. They're unpredictable. I mean, you know, those people that walked into Walmart didn't know that they were about to experience that storm in their lives. They're inevitable. They're unpredictable, and they're impartial. They happen to good people. They happen to bad people. They happen to believers. They happen to unbelievers. Being a Christian does not exempt us from being in the storms. And I think sometimes we can get a misconception, if we're not careful, that we feel like the only time that we have tough times is maybe when we're disobeying God. And that's not true. That's not true. The disciples got into a storm because they obeyed God. You know, Jesus said, get in the boat, and they got in the boat, and they sailed right into a storm. They were obeying God. They were in the center of his will, and they were right in the middle of a storm. So when you're going through a tough time, don't automatically assume, I must be out of the will of God. You may be exactly where God wants you to be. Storms are inevitable, and storms are unpredictable, and if storms are impartial, then the issue really becomes, what is my response going to be in the storms that are going to come in my life? You know, they're going to happen. And so what is my response? And really, there's two ways you can respond to storms. And they are seen in the story in the way the disciples responded and in the way that Jesus responded. One responded in fear, and one responded in faith. One trembled, and one trusted. And so here's how I can respond. First, when I face a storm, I can be filled with panic. And I think we've all experienced that. Verse 25 says, the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. I mean, listen, these guys, most of these guys on the boat, they were not novices. They had been out on the sea many, many times, on this particular sea. They had been through many, many storms. But evidently this one was a little more threatening, and it was a little more scary to them. Because they were saying, you know, we're goners, we're going to die. And it really shows the intensity of the storm. That word in the Greek that's used for storm is the word seismos. And it's where we get our word seismology or seismograph, which is really the instrument, you know, that registers the intensity of earthquakes. And so evidently this was a major, major storm. And if you've ever been out in the middle of the lake or in the ocean and have experienced a storm coming out up on you suddenly and without warning, you know how scary it can be. And so several of these disciples, experienced fishermen, had been in several storms, but this one was not going well. I mean, the boat is taking on water and the storm is not letting up. And I can kind of just think that they began kind of dialoguing with each other, talking with each other. And they begin to say, you know, why did Jesus bring us out here? I mean, if he is who he says he is, he knew this was going to happen. So why? And maybe the others that were not fishermen on the boat, they're saying, I didn't even want to come on this boat, right? I didn't want to get on. I wanted to stay on the other side. It's Jesus' fault that we're in this mess, right? And so let me ask you a question. Have you ever regretted following Jesus? You know, you get in the boat and all of a sudden there's a storm. And you think, wow, if I had not decided to follow Jesus, maybe this wouldn't be happening. You ever followed Jesus into a storm? You know, you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You begin to commit. You begin to make some changes in your life, right? You think, okay, God, I'm going to recommit my life to you. And you make those changes, and all of a sudden, the storm comes into your life. You know, a financial storm, a health storm, you know, a relational storm. And you go, you know, it's like, and here's my prayer when that happens to me. Here's my prayer. Seriously, Jesus? Right? I mean, seriously? I mean, I'm trying to follow you with my life. I'm trying to be obedient to you. Seriously? Seriously, Jesus? You're allowing this to happen in my life, in my relationships? I mean, everybody pray that prayer? Seriously? And that's what happens sometimes when we respond with panic. The second way we can respond when we face a storm is that I can be filled with peace. Look at verse 24. It says, but Jesus was sleeping. I mean, Jesus is sleeping. He's sleeping in a storm. And now you talk about peace. This really shows the humanity of Jesus, for one thing. I mean, it shows that he got tired, all right? You know, Jesus is doing ministry, and he's been serving and preaching and teaching and healing and traveling, and he's tired. Jesus subjected himself not only to things like temptation and fear and hunger, but he also experienced exhaustion like you and I feel. And he goes to the back of the boat, and he goes to sleep. And even though he was God, he was also fully human, so he got tired, and he goes to sleep. After a full day of ministering and teaching and preaching, he is exhausted and he lays down and he takes a nap. And so if you've ever wondered if Jesus could identify with your fatigue, this is an example of it. Yes, he can. I mean, he knows what it means to be dead tired. But more than that, I think it's a picture of his complete trust in God. Jesus was not worried at all about the storm. And I think he was setting an example by the very fact of his sleep, teaching a lesson to his disciples. And so here's the question. Did Jesus know there was going to be a storm before he got onto the boat? What do you think about it? Did he know? Without a doubt he did. Of course. Right? Of course he knew. He knew they were sailing right into a storm, but he says, hey, I'm going to go take a nap. I love Jesus. I mean, he's so cool, right? He knows exactly what's going to happen, yet he says, by the way, guys, I'm beat, right? I'm going to go back here and I'm going to take a nap. Where in the world do you get that kind of peace in a storm? Well, I think you get it by doing what this passage teaches us. If we're going to know how to make it through a storm, the first thing that we got to do is we got to remember Jesus' closeness, that he is present, that he is near you, that he is with you, that you're not by yourself. Verse 23 says, he got in the boat and his disciples followed him. And so they had nothing to fear. Jesus was in the boat. And do you think God was going to let the boat sink with Jesus in it? That in itself should have calmed them down. Jesus was with them, experiencing the storm with them. And if you're going to make it through a storm, the first lesson that you and I have to learn is that God is always with me. That if I'm a follower of Christ, if I've got in the boat with Him, there will be nothing that I face the rest of my life that I face alone. That God is with me. Jesus is in my boat. And I think sometimes we tend to forget that when we're in storms. We think sometimes that we're all alone. And we think that God is far away. But God has promised every believer, "Lo, I am with you always." God has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." I mean, what a promise. You don't need to worry if your boat is kind of beginning to rock right now, right? If Jesus is in your boat, we have to remember His closeness. Second thing I think we can learn from the story is that we got to relax in Jesus' care. Verse 25 says, "The disciples went and woke Him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.'" And I love how it's depicted in Mark 4:38. It says Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. You know, Mark wanted to add, he had a pillow with him. The boy had a pillow. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And that's the question, right? We get in the middle of a storm and we say, you know, "Why won't you make this stop? Don't you care?" And it's a reasonable question, right? You know, and as a pastor, you get that question all the time when people are in a terrible storm and maybe their kids get sick or cancer won't go away or a husband doesn't come home. Maybe the confusion will not subside. And the question becomes, hey, why won't God just make this stop? Why won't God just make this stop? And you want to know my answer? I don't know. How about that for some great pastor advice, right? Don't get me wrong, I could say something theological or philosophical. I mean, I could say something, but when you're in the middle of a storm, that's really not what you're interested in. When you're in the middle of a storm, you just want the pain to go away, right? And while all that deep theological stuff may be true, it's just not that helpful in the moment of the storm. Because the real question is, does God even care about me? Does God even care? And that's what the disciples are asking. Again, most of the disciples are experienced fishermen, and they have done everything they can. And at some point in this storm, their experience and their knowledge and their skill runs out. And they reach the end of themselves. Now, what do we do, right? Who do we look to now? And they turn their attention toward Jesus instead of the storm. And so those of you that are going through a storm, the question is the storm getting more attention than Jesus? Where are your eyes fixed? Are you seeking Him, or are you just furiously trying to bail water? Because at some point, it's a good idea to stop, and as the old hymn goes, just turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full into His wonderful face. You see, storms help us reach the end of ourselves and turn to Him. And we have to get to that place where we understand that life with Jesus is better than life without Jesus. Risk takers know that it's better with Jesus. And the answer is, does He care? Of course He cares. And He hurts. And He sees what you're going through. And I think this is one of the second great lesson that we must learn. If we're going to make it through storms, God cares about what I go through. And sometimes you just need to repeat that over and over and over again until you get it in your mind that God really cares. He really cares about what I'm going through. How much does He care? I mean, you can just read His Word and, you know, the 6,000 or 7,000 promises that are in His Word. When you read those, you've got to know that He cares. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties, all your worries on Him, because He cares for you. And the one thing that the disciples did right in this story is when they got afraid, they took their fear to Jesus. They took their fear to Jesus. Why? Because He was the only one who could do anything about it. Remember His closeness, relax in His care, and finally, rely on Jesus' control. Let His power see you through whatever you're going through. Verse 26 says, He replied, you of little faith, why are you afraid? And then He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Why are you so afraid? And I can imagine the disciples going, seriously, Jesus? I mean, look around. You know, this is why we're afraid. Look around, right? But I don't know if it was a question more than it was, I think, a statement. And I think Jesus was saying, have you forgotten who's in the boat with you? I got this. And if you knew whose boat you were in, you might be able to take a nap just like I did. You wouldn't be worried. And maybe you've forgotten that I'm the creator of the universe. I created the mountains. I created the wind. I created the water. Listen, He's saying, hey, I'm with you. And then, I love this, He got up and He rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Now, you know, when a storm begins to subside a little bit, Dad and I got back in the boat, you know, got in the boat and headed back to the cabin. It was still rough. I mean, the wind was still blowing even as it was coming down. But in this right here, He got up, He rebuked them, and immediately it was completely calm. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing more peaceful than sitting on the water and it just be just like ice, right? It's just like glass. Just calm. It's so peaceful. Perfect peace in the moment. So here's what I know. When you face down storms, you're going to be better able to experience peace on the other side. Storms are not eternal, okay? They are temporary. There will be peace. There is peace beyond the grave being prepared for us right now. A peace where everything will be set right. And a life lived with Jesus is marked by faith in that promise. That in the worst of storms, we can have the confidence that this storm is not forever. And it might not end when I want it to, but it will end. And when it does, when it ends, we'll be in the same place that the disciples found themselves in when they were standing in that boat. Look at verse 27. It says, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I mean, that's the question. Who is this man? When you see a furious storm stop, when you see waves and winds die down, when you see God respond to a prayer that you've been crying out to Him, when you witness something that you can only contribute to the power of Jesus, it gives you confidence. It gives you confidence in Him. If all we ever experienced was perfect peace, do you think we would appreciate Jesus' power? If we never reached the end of ourselves, would we really believe that it is only Jesus? It's only Jesus that can bring peace. Listen, storms are not fun, but they do serve a purpose. And risking for Jesus is not saying yes to a storm-free life. It means trusting and obeying Jesus in the storm, knowing that one day the storm will be stilled, because all storms are temporary. Because Jesus has the power over all storms. Who is this man? He's the one that commands winds and the wind and the waves to stop. He's the one that can sleep in the back of the boat when there's a storm going on. And here's what I know. Listen. Here's what I know. The best way to find out the question of who is this man is to get in the boat. That's how you find out. It's not just about reading about him. It's following him. It's taking a risk and getting in the boat with him. You want to be a true risk taker and experience, you know, his presence and his peace and his power, his closeness, his care, and his control? Get in the boat. Get in the boat and follow Jesus. Now listen, let me give you this warning. It's possible to go to work, to go to school, to go to church. It's even possible to go on mission, right? To go on a mission trip. It's possible to lead a class, to be in a Bible study, to lead a small group. It's possible to lead worship. It's even possible to be a preacher and to do all of that without Jesus. On your own, in your own power. And if that's you, you will one day reach the end of your abilities, the end of your skills, your power, yourself. And the sooner that day comes, the better. When your power runs out and you realize that you're not enough on your own. But with Jesus, everything can change. Anything is possible. His disciples followed him because that's what disciples do. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, let me say this. You're going to face storms. Storms are not up for negotiation. Regardless of whose boat you are in, storms will come. So whose boat do you want to be in? And if you're navigating through storms and just an ocean of problems right now, let me ask you, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, let me just ask you, how's that going for you? How's that going? Life without Jesus in the midst of a storm. Are you tired of bailing water and trying to do it in your own strength? Have you found out that you are reaching the end of your own competency, right? Well, can I just recommend for you to turn your attention, maybe just for a moment, to turn your attention away from the storm for just a moment and turn your attention to Jesus. Here's why. Because I believe that He is Lord. I believe that He commands the wind and the waves. I believe He loves you and He paid it all for you. I believe He came to seek and save you from every storm and every circumstance that threatens you. And I believe He is worth following. Because on a day in history, Jesus went to a cross and was beaten and bled and was crucified and shoved into a tomb, and a rock rolled over that tomb. And then one day in history, the stone was rolled away, and He conquered sin and Satan and death. And they tried to stop the revolution of love that was set in motion, but they couldn't produce a body. And they couldn't reveal a conspiracy. And 2,000 years later, all of human history has been divided by the life of a man named Jesus. And you know what I call that? Miraculous. Miraculous. It's worth paying attention to Jesus because He is the creator of the universe. And storms, listen, storms are small things to Him. And so maybe he's calling you to make a decision to follow him. Just say yes and take a risk and get in the boat and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Listen, I did that when I was 12 years old. And I walked down this long aisle. It seemed like a mile to get down it. And I came up to my pastor and I said, hey, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And in that moment, I became a child of God. And every since that day, right? Every since that day, storms have come into my life. Some because of other people's decisions. Some because of just the broken world in which, you know, we live in. But some came because of my own choices, right? I brought a lot of the storms on my own. And so since that day, I have lied about stuff. Since that day, I have been a failure in school. I have failed, you know, on the athletic field. I've failed in business. People I know and love have struggled with addictions. I mean, since that day, I have lost two granddaughters, Kim's dad, my father. People have died, and I have buried a lot of fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. Since that day, I have felt betrayed. I have felt that I am not enough, you know, that I really am a failure. I've gotten angry. I've gotten, you know, where I've just tried to control every circumstances, and the list can go on and on and on, right? And the storms have been furious, and not always far between. But one thing remains the same, and his name is Jesus. And I couldn't imagine doing life without him. I mean, I've panicked, but he's always brought peace, and the storms have always ceased, sometimes quickly. But to be honest, sometimes not quickly enough. But listen to me. Listen, guys. He's always been more than enough. And it's only been through the risk of following Jesus that I have been able to experience his presence, his closeness. It's only through the risk of following Jesus that I've been able to experience his peace and his care for me. It's only through following and taking the risk and following Jesus that I've been able to experience his power and his control in my life. I mean, listen again, it's one thing to read about him calming the wind and the waves. It's another thing to see him do it. And when you get in the boat, I promise you, you will see him do it. And so let me ask this question that I started with. If you had to face the worst storm in your life, who would you want in the boat with you? And I can't answer that question for you. But for me, I want to be in Jesus' boat. I want to be a risk taker, not in my own strength, not in my own abilities, not in my own power, but I want to be a risk taker with Jesus. And that's my prayer for you, that you will get in the boat and you will begin to take risk when it comes to your faith and your relationship with your Lord, with your Savior, and watch him calm the wind and the waves, and watch him bring perfect peace in moments of unbelievable chaos. Watch him begin to use you to bring his kingdom here to this earth and make a difference for him in your life, in your families, in your marriages, in this city that he's called us to, on our campuses, together, loving and leading and growing others into a forever personal relationship with the Rock Jesus Christ taking risk with Jesus. Pray with me, please. If you're here this morning and you know you've never made a decision to get in the boat with Jesus, you never said yes to Him, and right now, through His Word and through His presence in this place, His Spirit is pulling your spirit and saying, hey, I want you to come and be in relationship with me. Will you surrender right now? Will you just say yes to Him? Right now, just confess with your mouth that you believe that He is Lord, and believe in your heart that He came and died for you and paid for your sins and rose again so that you could be in a personal, forever relationship with Him. Right now, will you say yes to Jesus? Say, Jesus, come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Begin to change me into the man or the woman, or the person that you've created me to be. Maybe you've been in the boat. And maybe for some of you, you've been in the boat with Jesus for a long time. But maybe for whatever reason, storms have come in your life and you've gotten your eyes off of Jesus. And this morning, He's just saying, hey, will you turn your eyes back onto me? I care for you. I've got this. And just allow Him to bring a peace back into your heart and your soul and your spirit. Allow Him to bring back a courage that can face whatever circumstances are coming your way. Allow Him, with His presence, to begin to use you in the midst of your storm, in the midst of storms that are going on in other people's lives. Would you turn your eyes back to Him and look full in His wonderful face? Jesus, it's my heart that every one of us would risk and take a step of faith and get in the boat with you, Jesus. Follow you with our whole life. Be a risk taker with you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.